When I die, if the Lord don't come back first and I die, if they put anything, Karen, if you put anything on my tombstone, it's going to be a phrase out of the book of Ruth. So what you're going to do tonight, you're going to guess what the phrase is. All right, so we're going to have I'm going to have you guess what the phrase is. There's a phrase in the book of Ruth that I want on my tombstone, if she can afford it. They tell me they're pretty high. I don't know. I ain't bought any yet. They're pretty high tombstone. To be honest about it, the older I get, the less I'm interested in these big funerals. I think if I die, just get me a box and bury it. I don't want no big shindig. Take the money for flowers and give it to missions or the church or school or something here. Do something beneficial with it. It's a bunch of wilting flowers. And for sure, don't go up here and lie and tell what a great guy I was. Amen. That's right. And I don't know. You know, I got looking at the Bible about that. I don't see big funeral services in the Bible. People just died, went to heaven, buried. Anyway, okay, so pretty soon we're going to have a little fun. And now what I'm going to do is ask you pretty soon, what's your favorite verse or phrase out of the book of Ruth? I'm going to ask you what yours is. I want you to think about it, okay? And so anyway, all right, just to give you some deals on some outlines tonight. Now, some of these I come up on my own and some of them I didn't, but they're all good. In chapter 1, okay, so what you need to do is put chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, okay? In chapter 1, I'm going to give you alliteration on F's. You have the far country. You have the far country. They're down in Moab in the far country. Sin is always in the far country, amen? Amen. It's in a place you ought not be. And so they were in the land of Moab, a far country. But in chapter 1, there was faith exercise. They believed. They had faith and they went back. So you got far country and then you got faith. I'm giving you some teaching and preaching outlines here. Yeah, she had faith in an unseen God. Had never had seen him, but she believed she had faith in an unseen God. The just shall live by faith. And she wound up in the field of Boaz. So she was in a far country, but she had faith in an unseen God of Israel. And she wound up in the field of Boaz. Boy, that's where you want to wind up is in the field. But that's where faith will take you is into the field of Boaz. Jesus said, you're my foe. But anyway, then she found favor with Boaz. She found favor. The Bible says that in chapter 2, verse number 13. Found favor. And then she wound up at the feet of Boaz. And that's what will happen to you if you grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. You won't get arrogant and talk about how good you are and what a wonderful Christian you are. You wind up at the feet of Jesus. Amen. You wind up at the feet of Jesus. And then when you wind up at the feet of Jesus, oh, listen, he put her in the family of God. He put her in the family of God. That's your next one. He put her in the family of God. Married her. Amen. And, oh, I like her. I'm glad. If I didn't go to real estate school for anything else, I'm glad I learned about tenants in the entirety. You know, if I die tonight, I love the old Christians in this country. We ain't got enough sense, don't know enough Bible in this country to write laws that are right anymore. We don't. But see, the laws in Missouri, based upon the Bible, you and your wife own your property as tenants in the entirety. That's a Missouri law. And what that means is that they see you as one, like the Bible calls you. The two shall be one. And so if I die tonight, guess who'd get the old house and stuff we live in? Who'd get it? Karen. Karen would get it, right? And so anyway, that's a biblical thing. And that's why the Bible calls us heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we're going to rule and reign with him. And that's what, when we got put in the family of God, there's all kinds of wonderful things come with that. Now, here's a funny thing. I think this is funny. I can buy a piece of land by my own signature, by myself, and don't have to have her with it. But I can't sell it without her signature. That's right. That's exactly right. That's tenants in the entirety. That's a biblical principle. You know what you and I are? We are tenants in the entirety with Jesus Christ. Amen. We're tenants in the entirety. Whether you believe this or not, what's his is ours. What's ours is his. Yeah. I'm telling you something. We've been made partakers. I mean, we've been... there's a big deal when he married her. I'm telling you, it's a big deal when he married her. And then, finally, she had a future. Oh, man, she had a future with Boaz, right? We're talking about the future. You read your Bible in the book of Matthew, and you find out she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Hey, when you get out of that far country and by faith get into the fields of God, you've got a future. Amen. We've got a wonderful future ahead of us. I'm excited. You know, I'm excited. I'm excited about the millennial reign. I'm excited about thousand-year reign. I really am. I'm excited about when the lion shall lay down by the lamb. I'm excited about that. That's going to be a neat time to be here. And the future is exciting. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. Can you imagine seeing being with Jesus coming back in glory? And as I preached this morning, his feet touch the Mount of Olives. Riding on white horses, you say, I don't believe that. No wonder you never shout. Well, I tell you what, when I was a kid, I had more sense than that. I'd take my stick horse. How many's ever had a stick horse? Oh, man, you ain't lived till you've had a stick horse. Amen? Amen. Boy, I'll tell you what. What'd you name your stick horse? I named mine Trigger. Mine was named Trigger, and I'll tell you what, I had old Trigger, and I'd slap old. How many's ever done that? Right. Slapping that horse around. Hey, man, I'll tell you what. You say we get. No, listen. The Bible says we're coming back on white horses with him. We're coming back on white horses with him. And it's going to be an exciting time. It's a wonderful future. Well, here's another outline on the book of Ruth. Now, here's the deal. All of these outlines show you the path of Christianity. It shows you the path of the believer, okay? We were in a far country, right? We were in a far country. We placed our faith in an unseen God. And you know what? We wound up in the fields of God working. And then we wound up at the feet of Jesus. And wound up, man, I'm telling you what. Well, here goes another one. Let's do some more right here. These are F's too. Well, let's do this one here. Let's do some D's. There's a departing. They departed from Canaan, went down to Moab. They were disobedient. They mingled with the heathen. But then they made a decision. And Ruth made that decision. That decision is chapter 1, very important. I'm going with you. It don't matter how bad it is. And then there's the delighting in Boaz. And then there's the delivering of the baby. And y'all got those real quick, didn't you? You got those. Departing, disobedient, the decision, the delighting, and the delivering. Okay? Here's some more F's. Here's another outline. There was a famine in the land. There was failure. They didn't trust God. But then there was faith. This is actually an outline of Naomi right here. Naomi, the famine. Then the failure, but then the faith when she returned, then the future with her kinsmen, then the family. Now, I'm going to talk about trials for just a second, and I know I'm kind of redundant here, but I'm going to give you three things about trials tonight. How many has ever had a trial? The trial of your faith. You're going to be tried. You're going to be tried. It's precious. Now, God said your trials are precious, and if God says that your trials are precious, they're precious, okay? There's three things you can do with a trial. Number one, you can endure a trial. Write this down. You can endure a trial. You can try to escape a trial. Or you can enlist the trial. Now, I want to give you something tonight. If you just try to endure a trial, you're going to get bitter and hard. If all you do is just say, well, I'll just endure it. God does not want you just to endure trials. You'll just get hard. And by the way, your trial will become your master. It'll dominate your thinking, give you just kind of a negative attitude toward life, negative attitude toward your relationship with God. God does not want you just to endure your trial. Yeah, there's a place for endurance. Endure hardness of the good soul of the cross. But in your trials, God does not want you just to endure them. Now, if you endure them, you're going to get bitter and you'll get hard, and that trial will become your master. If you try to escape your trials, you're going to miss everything God has for you. I'm at a stage in my life. I'm just glad God kept me. Is all I can tell you. I'm just glad I didn't run. I'm just glad I didn't give up. You know, and I'm just glad that God took me through the trials. But if you try to escape, you're going to miss everything that God's done. If you're careful, He'll just corner you over here, and you have to go through it all again. So don't try to escape trials. A lot of times, you know, we may try to endure them, and we just wind up being a hard, callous Christian. We can't get blessed, and the joy is gone out of our life. But learn to also don't try to escape your trials, because you're going to miss God's will. You're going to miss God's plan for your life if you try to escape your trials. But I'm telling you, I'm like everybody else. You know, we're all looking for an escape route to get out of our trials. But here's what God wants you to do with your trial. He wants you to enlist that trial. He wants you to take it and make it work for good. He wants the trial to become your servant, not your master. Now, you get a hold of that. Your trials can become your servant, not your master. They start working for you. They start working for you. And so If you look through the book of Ruth, it was a book of trials. And Naomi went through this process, you know, just endure, and she came back out bitter. Trials. And they tried to escape the trial when they left Canaan, went down, trying to escape the trial of the famine and so forth. But when she came back and began to enlist her trial and turn back to God and said, you know, I'm going to believe that God has a purpose in all this somehow or another. That thing started turning and working good for her. And think what she'd have missed if she had just tried to escape that trial. So don't do that. Now, I'll give you some R's. Chapter 1, you see them in ruin. They're in ruin. Again, there's a reason I'm doing this tonight. This is like backing up a broad brush on the book, okay? And you see the ruin in chapter 1. In chapter 1, you see the repenting. And in chapter 1, you see the resolve. I tell you, boy, I'm going to tell you something. I have resolved, right? Remember that song? To follow the Savior. That's Ruth. You need some old-time biblical resolve in you. I don't care what happens, I'm a-going. Go back, go back, go back. Nope, I'm a-going. Going to be rough, I'm a-going. Going to be tough, I'm a-going. Need some resolve in us. That's an old-time American word, resolve. But they were in ruin, but she repented and she resolved to go. Then she got into chapter 2 and she starts reaping. Once you've resolved, I'll tell you, that's something else you need to do, is get resolved about your faith and then start reaping in the Lord's name. Just reaping. Chapter 3, she's resting. God wants that there remaineth therefore rest in the people of God. In chapter 3, that's where her mother-in-law Naomi said, listen, just take it easy, sit and wait. It's out of your hands, right? Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Rest in the Lord. And then finally in chapter number 4, she's ruling. She's married to Boaz and she's ruling. And man, I'm telling you. All right, now I'm going to give you one that I really, really like here. It starts with T's. Okay, it starts with T's. Chapter 1, you see tears. And that's the truth. In verse number 9, I believe verse number 13 in chapter 1, she weeps. Sin brings tears. Sorrow. Tears. Chapter 1 is tears. The Bible says that God puts our tears in a bottle, that God's concerned, and God's a compassionate God. But He saw her tears. Chapter 2, He saw her toil. Her toil. What did Joseph say? Joseph said toil. When he talked about Manasseh and Ephraim and birthing in Manasseh, the Lord saw my toil. I want to tell you about your Christian life. It's going to be some toiling. You're just going to have to go out there and stay at it, and it's not going to be much fun. You're just going to have to get out there in the field and toil. And but in that toiling, she was gleaning. Now, chapter 3, you see her trusting. Chapter 1, you see her tears. Chapter 2, you see her toiling. But in chapter 3, you see her trusting. And she was trusting. Now, I'm telling you something. This is a lot bigger than we think for, because she was trusting in the Word of God. The Bible had said in Leviticus and Deuteronomy that there was a kinsman redeemer law. And she had a kinsman. And she trusted the Word of God. This is big. This key to a lot of these things is in your life is finding out what the Word of God says about it and trusting what the Bible says. She just didn't do an arbitrarily deal. She was trusting in the Word of the Lord. So you see her tears in chapter 1, her toil in chapter 2, her trust in chapter 3, but you see her triumph in chapter 4. And so after the tears and the toil and the trusting, then we have triumph in our life. Hey, the last chapter in most of our lives has not been written yet. That's the truth. And by the way, the Bible talks about those people who died in faith, not having seen. You know, we're just not living in time. Our situation is for eternity. Amen. And so I'm going to tell you tonight, and you need to get your eyes on this thing. I'll just give you this little thoughts right here. This book starts with a funeral, ends with a wedding. Starts with a death and ends with a birth. It's a picture of our salvation, a picture of our journey in the Lord. It starts with bitterness and ends up with a blessing. It starts with loneliness and ends up with love. I mean to tell you. By the way, does anybody know what the number of the book is? What's the number of the book? Does anybody know in the Bible? In the sequence, is it the 5th, 6th, 9th, 20, 21st? Does anybody know? Just offhand. It's the eighth book. Anybody know what number eight? Eight means new beginning. Now, you tell me if Ruth didn't have a new beginning. I mean, I'm telling you something. This is a Holy Ghost God-written book. This is a Holy Ghost God-written book. Anyway, here's a good one. This is a good chapter one. You got Ruth. She enters the Redeemer's fold. She gets saved. She becomes the sheep of God's pasture. She enters His fold, the Redeemer's fold. Chapter two, she enters the Redeemer's field. That's in this Christianity. First of all, you enter the Redeemer's fold. You get saved. Then you enter the Redeemer's field, chapter 2. Then in chapter 3, you come to the Redeemer's feet. Hey, you don't get higher as your Christian journey goes, you get lower. That's the secret. You don't say, well, I've been saved for 30 years. just the grace of God, I'm here. So she's in the Redeemer's fold, she's in the Redeemer's field. And she's at the Redeemer's feet in chapter 3, and she's in the Redeemer's family in chapter 4. I know I'm kind of repeating myself a little bit, but I just want you to get this book is an amazing, unbelievable book, and it's a picture of our journey from our salvation clear to the consummation. By the way, there's a wedding at the end of this book. Does anybody know what that pictures? The marriage supper of the Lamb. I mean, this book goes from everything you're involved in your Christian life. By the way, she's also in the Redeemer's future. And, of course, you see that in Matthew chapter 1 where she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Oh, this one I like. This is my little favorite right here. I love this. This W's. Chapter 1, she's a widow. Weeping. Chapter 2, she's a worker. Wondering. At the mercy of God. She just wondered. I mean, how did I? Does anybody know what she says? Yeah, I found favor. She said, why have I found favor? Why have I found grace? She's in wonderment. Here I was, this weeping widow, and now I'm in a worker in the field of Boaz, and he's been such a blessing to me, and all my provisions are being met. And I'm being cared for and protected. And I'm not destitute. She's in wonderment. Chapter 3, she's a woman in waiting. She's a woman in waiting. She's waiting. You know what the Bible says? That we're waiting for the redemption of our body. You know what we're doing today? We're waiting. We were, as it were, lost widows, weeping, lost without any hope. And we became workers, got saved, chapter 1, chapter 2, we became workers in the Lord. And I'll just tell you something, I just wonder. I mean, Danny, I'm just going to tell you, the thrill of my life is I got saved and the Lord called me to preach. I was like, my land of living. How much more blessed could you get? I was thinking yesterday, I think all my blessings. I mean, I live in the Ozarks, I live in America, I'm saved. Look at my wife over there. Now, if I ain't blessed, look at that. If I ain't blessed my children, I tell you what, if that ain't a blessing, my grandkids, they come up here and hug me, you know, if that ain't a blessing, man alive, I get to, on the way to church tonight, we saw four deer. I mean, I just, blessings, walk out in the morning, and clouds up in the sky. I sat out there the other morning, looked at that, and I was just like, it's like God said, hey, Reggie, sit still, I'm going to draw you a painting. This is glorious. I'm just blessed up one side and down the other. And so I'm in wonderment. But anyway, but we're waiting for the redemption of our body. We're groaning. The Bible says the whole Christian groaning. So chapter 3, she's a woman waiting. Can anybody tell me what she is in chapter 4? Oh, we're just having fun tonight. Can we have fun? You folks watching this on live internet, we're just having fun, okay? What? In chapter 1, she's a widow weeping. Chapter 2, she's a worker in wonderment. And in chapter 3, she's a woman in waiting. In chapter 4, what is she? She's a wife with a wedding. Okay? Is this fun or not fun? I like it. Amen. It's a lot of fun. She's a wife with a wedding. Well, I'll tell you what. God's good, isn't he? Now, I said something this morning, and by the way, I'm just going to be honest with you this morning, and I'm not, don't say anything to me after church or don't say anything right now, but I struggled and struggled. I was preaching this morning. I was like I was fighting bees. I just couldn't. How many's ever watched a rodeo and they open the gate and the bull never comes out? That's the way I was preaching this morning. The gate was open, but I was in there just bucking around. I just couldn't get going somehow or another, and I just struggled all the way through, you know, but I really did. But one of the things that I really wanted to get across was the love of God in this whole thing. And I want to close out tonight by doing this, and that's, I'm done with that. I want to just preach a 10 to 20 minute message. I better say 10 to 60 minute message. On love found a way. Love found a way. Because after you looked at all the legalities and the kinsman redeemer and everything, the truth behind all the scene is that Boaz had fallen in love with Ruth. And he found a way to marry her. And he had to overcome four obstacles to get her. And these four obstacles are the obstacles that were in front of Christ, that Christ overcame to bring you and I to himself. And it's all because he loves us. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners. Boaz commended his love toward Ruth while she was yet a Moabite widow, broke as a fiddle. Can anybody tell me, somebody says, well, I bet she's nice looking. Well, she might have been, probably was, I don't know. But I figure there's some other nice-looking ladies in Israel. And I'm going to tell you something. You look in chapter 2 with me again tonight. I'm just fiddling around. I know I'm not preaching very much, but I am having fun. Chapter 2. You know, if I was to do it, when I come back in my third life, no. I had a guy today put on my Facebook page. He said, aren't you affiliated with KKK? Yeah. Karen. Yeah. You know what I told him? I said, last I checked, KKK was a Democrat organization. I've been a lifelong Republican. And Republicans are the ones who led the fight in the Civil War. The Republican Party was started with Abraham Lincoln to conquer slavery. And it was the Republican Party that passed all the amendments that gave them equal rights to vote and citizenship and all that after the Civil War. And I said, nice try. And by the way, aren't you a member of Antifa? I'm honored. Amen. I'm honored. I tell you. But anyway, and you know, I don't know. Maybe he was just kidding. But if he was, he didn't put it out. He didn't make it sound like he's kidding. And if he says he was kidding, I'll say, yeah, I was kidding too. Yeah, it might be a lie. It would be, because I'm not kidding. There's an old song. Listen to this old verse of this old song. Love found a way to redeem my soul. Love found a way that could make me whole. Love took my Lord to the cross of shame. Love found a way. Oh, bless his holy name. And you know, I don't want to leave the book of Ruth without just talking about how much God loves us. And when you read the book of Ruth, all we see Boaz is Jesus, and all we see Ruth is yourself. And just let it soak into you that God's trying to tell you how much he loves you, irregardless of what you ain't got or who you come from or your past and your situation. Sister Dolores, I want to tell you, Jesus loves you. Mrs. DeGase, Jesus loves you. Carol, Jesus loves you. Miss Cradleville, Jesus loves you. It's not just church talk. And I know sometimes that I think about you with us. I don't know where you're at. I've never been there. I don't know what you feel. I don't know what you're going through. But I'll tell you this. You've got a Savior that does. And He cares about you. But here's what I want to get you. In 1 Corinthians 13, in the chapter of charity, it says something. There's one little statement that you need to get about God's love to you. And that's this. Charity never faileth. Now, there's at least two applications I know about that word. One is that it never stops. They used to say that spring failed or that well failed. That means that it stopped flowing. God's love never stops flowing. It never fails. And it doesn't make any difference what you've done or haven't done. He loves you with an everlasting love.
Yes, He does.
How many have ever failed God and just been mad at yourself? Aggravated at yourself? And I've sometimes said to God, "Oh, Lord." And I've wondered sometimes if God just doesn't kind of back away and let us fail so that we can maybe have a little bit of comprehension of His love. Because when I look back over all my life and I realize that in spite of all my failure, in spite of all my sin, He still loves me.
Amen.
And that's not church cheap preacher talk. And so tonight, there were some obstacles. Old Boaz had to overcome. And he overcame them by love. The first thing that had to be overcome was a cursed race. Ruth is some accursed race. These were people, the Moabites, who opposed Israel when they came up out of the land of Egypt and they were coming up through the land. The Moabites opposed Israel. I mean, they fought against them. And they got so bad that they had, remember the false prophet? What was his name? Balaam? They had Balaam trying to curse them. And he couldn't curse them. But he corrupted them. And I'm telling you something. You listen to me. There's something really big in here. I'm going to show you chapter 2 and verse number. Well, I want to talk about, let me back up just a minute. In chapter 2, verse number 5, we're talking about Boaz's love toward her and Christ's love toward you and I. Then said Boaz unto a servant that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this?" I believe that was love at first sight. I really do. I believe he fell in love with her right then. But I want to show you, you know, he starts talking to her, but I'll show you another. Look at verse number 14. He invites her into mealtime. And Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime, come thou hither and eat the bread and dip thy morsel in vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers. Now watch what he did. He reached her parched corn. Girls, he is making his move. Yes, sir. He was sending her a message. "I care about you." Forgive me. I know you think I'm probably pushing, but I'm not really. Just comes to my mind. If you read my book, how many read the chapter on pie supper? It's my favorite chapter in the book, pie supper. That's that. That preacher bought that girl's pie publicly. That was expecting a child out of wedlock. And he wasn't afraid to be identified with her, you know. And that's what he's doing there. He is letting everybody in the room know, "I love that girl." And, but I want to give you something here that's powerful. In verse number 10, after he had expressed his love toward her, she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me?" See, and I'm a stranger. Boaz answers her, now watch this. "It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law." Who is her mother-in-law? And who is she a type of?
Israel. I will bless them that bless thee. Better learn something here. I've watched it. I've lived long enough to see it. But she was in a cursed race. Did you know what? That you and I are from a cursed race. We were cursed in Adam. Genesis 3, the curse came upon us. But you know what? Jesus loved us so much, he's going over that obstacle of the cursed race. That didn't stop him from loving. He loved us even while we're cursed. Then there was a condemning rule. You and I are under the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death. And so he overcame that. He overcame the curse that was on us. He overcame the law that was against us. We're lawbreakers.
Amen.
It's a law of sin and death. I mean, we're just lawbreakers. But he overcame that by his sinless life. He satisfied the law. He overcame that obstacle. Galatians 3:13. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on. He was made a curse for us. So he overcame the first obstacle. She was from a cursed race. He became a curse for us. All right? The second one was she had a rule against her that they were to be in the congregation of the Lord till the 10th generation. So how do you do that? How do you come over that? That law of sin and death. God has set a law there, the statute. You don't let them people in. Jesus became sin for us. He satisfied the law. He lived a sinless life. And so everything that was coming up, everything that was in the way of him redeeming her, he took care of as he approached it. The third thing was, as a closer relative. That was a law in the flesh. As a closer relative. And you know what he did? He came down, took upon the form of flesh, became our kinsman redeemer. Took upon himself flesh. I mean, I'm not probably doing a good job of this, but what I am telling you is that every obstacle that was in front of him to redeem that woman, he overcame it and did what had to be done. And what was motivating him?
Love.
You know, I met Karen and I asked her out, but it rained that night. So I had to call her and tell her I couldn't come. It was raining. How many believes that? How many knows that if it had snowed, ice, sleeted, and had a hurricane, I'd still went to get her? What was motivating me? You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you something about God didn't, when you love somebody, obstacles don't. I remember a guy told me, he said he used to work in Kansas and his girlfriend was here in Norwood. They're married now. I've been married for probably 50 years. But he said, Reggie, when I was a young boy, he said, I had me a little motorcycle and I'd go out in Kansas to work all week long. And he said, I'd ride my motorcycle home. And he said, Reggie, I couldn't wait for that clock to strike, you know, that Friday evening clock. And he said, I'd have my motorcycle all pumped up with gas, my stuff all packed on it. And he said, I would head home. He said, rain, sleet. He said, and it's all to see her. He said, it wasn't Norwood I wanted to see. It was that girl. He said, Reggie, no weather could stop me. He said, I have froze to death on my motorcycle. Just getting to her. I'm going to tell you one thing. Jesus went through it all to get to us. And he overcame it all. And then there was a costly requirement. The Bible said he had to be able to buy them out. I had to pay the price. That Jesus, the Bible said in the New Testament, that his blood, for much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now, let me tell you the most precious thing in the world. The Bible talks about the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. And Boaz was a mighty man of wealth. The most precious thing in this world was the sinless life and the sinless blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that could procure our redemption. You better be glad he never sinned. There would not have been any sacrifice for our sins. And the wealth, the true wealth, our wealth is Christ. But what's it profit, man? You have the whole world. If you're not saved, you don't have nothing. My mama said to me this morning, she said, Red, this stuff is just stuff. You know, she was talking to me about how that when Dad died, she said, even furniture just became something to sit in. It's like life totally changed. That she realized that her life was bound up with his life. That stuff was just things. And I'm telling you, our wealth is our salvation.
Amen.
It's our salvation. The riches of Christ was his sinless life and his precious blood. And I'm telling you, he overcame everything so that you and I could be redeemed tonight. And I hope this will be a blessing to you. I want you to, I could go to some scriptures, but I'm not going to do it. I told you I'd try to keep this short. Now, we're going to do something. Does anybody in here have a guess of what my favorite phrase is? Brother Matt. Yeah, what's the phrase? That's my favorite phrase in the whole book. It's probably my favorite phrase in the whole Bible. And it's what if I have a tombstone, I want it on my tombstone. Why have I found grace in thine eyes? So now tonight, you tell me what your favorite verse in the book of Ruth is. Anybody?
Chapter 1, verse 16.
Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Anybody else? Yeah, yes. Three. 3:18. Then she said, sit still, my daughter. She said, when she gets busy and pressing and fretting and so forth, that verse helps her. Sit still. Anybody else? Yes, Brother Ralph.
This wasn't really mine, but it's what I was chiseling on your tombstone after you told me. 4:15 says that you shall be able to be a restorer of thy life.
Amen. A restorer of thy life. Amen. All righty. Anybody else? A verse that just become a blessing to you as you was in the book of Ruth. Yes. Amen. Well, I mean, there are so many sweet verses in this book. It's just so rich. I'm going to give you a verse. To me, is a ministry verse for me, and it's down in verse number 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening. My goal in life is to glean in his field till the evening. Till it's time to shut down. Till the Lord says, shut her down and come home. I want to glean till the evening. Anybody else tonight? A verse that means yes. Oh my goodness.
Putting that in that perspective that you did, I didn't see that until, you know, that sermon. And just everything that we do and he allows us to do.
Amen.
It's only because of
his grace. Can I just give you all something that's very precious out of the book of Ruth? Don't get distracted. Stay in the field. Keep gleaning. Keep serving. Keep enjoying your salvation. Let God write chapter 4. Just follow that pattern in here and it'll be a blessing to you. But I love that verse too. I mean, my goodness. Let me now go and glean. And there's just all kinds of good verses. Yes. Amen. 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 Anybody else? I just kind of challenge you to just look at your Bible and just grab hold of some. We're doing some gleaning tonight. Ain't that right? We're doing some gleaning. And just hope the book will be precious to you. And I would encourage you, whenever you think life's getting a little tough and wound up a little bit, get your Bible, walk out in the woods, sit down on a stump, and read the book of Ruth. And it'll help you. settle you down, let you know God's going to take you through. The same God that saw her in Moab is the same God that sees you and cares about you. And He's going to take us through to the wedding ceremony, I promise you, He is. Well, what a glorious day when we see the Lord. It'll be a great day. Anybody else tonight got anything at all? Verse that meant something to you? Well, I'm expecting the Lord to come back, so I'm not worried about a tombstone. And Karen, don't spend much. Have Van carve it out on a piece of wood or something. But, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. The older I get and the farther I go, the more I just literally wonder, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Why? They're probably listening tonight. There's a brother, Holverson, Shane, you're probably listening. But he said something this afternoon. They were at our house, and he said something to me. They've been coming to church here for a while, up around Foreland. And it just blew me away when he told me. Hope you don't mind. Don't ever tell me anything, Brother Shane, it gets told. You should have warned him, right? But they were saved out of Mormonism, that family. And he was telling me they were, he said, Reggie, we lived in the Brigham Young of Idaho, the town we lived in, just, you know, most of Mormonism. And he's telling me how he came to be saved. And I sat and listened to him this afternoon, and I'm like, if that's not sovereign grace. I mean, all I could think about was election. Just listen to him, because there's no rhyme or reason. I mean, they were in the Temple Mormons in Utah, Salt Lake City. And I've asked him to pray about giving a testimony here. But amazing story. How God reached right down the middle of heavy Mormonism and saved this couple. And I'm going to tell you something. They know what grace is, I can tell you. And Brother Holmeson, I'm wondering if God hadn't brought you down here to help us evangelize the Mormons of this area. So you'd be thinking about that. Is that, yeah, that is right, isn't it? Guy was Mormon. And anyway, boy, to listen to them tell how God just reached right down in the middle of their family. I mean, his dad and his brother, they're all still in it and things. And it's quite the deal. Why have I found grace? And, you know, he said something true. He said, Reg, you're really no different than I am. God reached down and saved you. Amen. We're all just, God just reached down by his grace and his mercy tonight. Well, let's stand and go home.